What is up, everybody? And of course, this is your boy Dan with another episode of 4D. Of course, that is the Dallas Cowboys. You know, we love the Dallas Cowboys, even if they make us mad. The draft, because we talk about the draft quite a bit. And of course, Doomsday Defense, which last year it looked like we had. So I'm going to actually start covering. I mean, look, free agency starting today as I'm recording this. So, you know, I'm going to start right there and say they have absolutely butchered this free agency, at least on the appearance of it from the start, right? So it looks like they're losing Lyle Collins. They've lost Randy Gregory. They're going to be going and, you know, potentially losing more players. You know, we have to wait and see who's still around, who's not. But, you know, they've lost more than they've gained. Now they have brought back DeMarcus Lawrence, which, you know, great. You need the pass rush. He's been, I know people are going to be out there and say, well, his sack numbers, look, he has been your best defensive lineman. His pass rush win rates, you know, he's fantastic against the run, creates a lot of pressures, you know, but he hasn't had a ton of consistent help with him. So he's been kind of manning himself, which, as we know, teams have focused on him over the years. So they brought him back. Outstanding. You know, they lost Amari Cooper, obviously, with the trade. So now you're looking at CeeDee Lamb on one side, Michael Gallup on the other. And, you know, the number three position, Cedric Wilson, is not back. They lost him. You know, right now it's looking like it's going to be a mix of, you know, Simi Fehoko, Noah Brown, who they brought back, and probably a draft pick, right? And we can go into that a little bit later. You know, they've also lost Connor Williams, the left guard, so we know that they're going to need guard. And so far, you know, the Cowboys have not really brought anybody in. You know, they were going to bring Randy Gregory back. They absolutely butchered that. Now, whether that was on the agent or the team, the fact is it got butchered, and he is not here. He is in Denver, okay? I'm not going to go into it. It was huge yesterday. I think both parties have some fault in the whole thing, and I'll just leave it there. I think both parties have some fault in this. So today, you know, Brian Broaddus apparently was on the radio, and he was talking about how he's getting messages from around the league, and they're texting him saying that this front office is inept. You know, Brian Broaddus said on 105.3, he thinks there's an owner over there that's not too happy with the way things are being done right now. Look, until things change, Jerry has given us this line for 26 years now. He has said, I would do anything to win a Super Bowl. And every year we hear it, and we hear how mad Jerry is. And yet the same things keep repeating. You know, we talk, people want to talk about cap space. Look, New Orleans Saints had a much worse off cap situation than we had. They were able to clear a ton of money off their books, not really lose anybody. And oh, by the way, they're thinking of bringing in Deshaun Watson. You can do it. And for those who say, well, you kicked the can down the road, first, let me start there. Next season, as of today, the Saints have are over the cap by about $5 million. The following year, they are actually under the cap, under $500,000, but they're under the cap. And the following year of that, they have, I mean, an enormous cap space. And so to say that, you know, the cap is this, the cap is that, I think we've all now seen Stephen Jones's approach to free agents and the cap. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence went on the radio or went on a podcast talk show and said that their first offer to him was quote unquote disrespectful. And we can say whether he earns it or not, but if you are approaching a player and they feel what you have approached them is disrespectful, and instead of negotiating with them yourself, he approaches you with an offer, And then Stephen Jones actually said to him, according to Tank, I'm going to say that, okay, that Jerry would not accept the offer and that he would be mad at this offer. So Stephen apparently went into Jerry, and Jerry said, absolutely give him his money. So either there's a good cop, bad cop thing happening, which I don't think is the case because it has been 26 years, almost three decades of, hey, at least we won the NFC East. Ineptitude. At the end of the day, it's ineptitude. So I don't think it's that. But on the flip side to all of this, right? Yeah, the Cowboys have drafted decently. There's been some years and some players that, you know, they really busted on. But you can do this. You can manage cap better than they are doing. You don't have to disrespect a player with what offer you come in. You already are publicly saying you could not afford $7 million a year for Cedric Wilson. You have already said to yourself, we cannot bid that. What are you bidding on? Von Miller's a topic, sure, there's that. There's some other players potentially that they're talking about. But you haven't done anything. And now you are scrambling because you thought you would have Randy Gregory. So you're trying to figure that out. Do you bring in Von Miller? Do you bring in somebody else? Von looks like he's going to go back to LA. So there goes that. You know, Zadarius Smith, like possibly, but look, the dude is bordering on 30 with a back injury he's recovering from. People say I'm an ageist, but facts are facts. Your body breaks down over time, especially when you take a lot of damage and a lot of hits, and you put your body through a lot. So what are the Cowboys actually doing? What is their plan? You know, you now have Dalton Schultz, who you've franchise tagged, and granted they could work out a deal, but you franchise tagged them. You let Jarwin go. So now you're hoping that potentially McKeon, I guess, you don't really have another tight end. Not one that you know what he is in any way, shape, or form. Right? Yes, you brought back Malik Hooker. Well, what about the other safety position? Are you bringing back Jaron Kearse? Because he needs to come back. Because outside of that, you got backup guys that you're going to potentially have to start. You know, as for the edge thing, you have Tank. Okay, great. And I know people are going to say, well, use Micah more. Okay, but here's the problem with that. And I'm all for using Micah Parsons as this piece to pass rush and do all that. But if you're telling me that you're just going to put him on the edge, now you have a need for yet another linebacker, which we already know they have a need for at least one, maybe two. Okay. Cool. You don't have a left guard right now, unless you're hoping, again, somebody on your roster that has, like, yeah, I don't know, Ball, who hasn't played a single snap, you're hoping that he develops right. At edge, you're hoping that maybe Dorrance Armstrong or Golston take a step. But you really, look, Armstrong has been solid in spot duty. Can he do it on a consistent basis? I guess we'll find out. And Golston, you know, everybody wants to see him take this next step, but to be honest, what has he shown you? You know, and I'm not saying every player that comes on has to have shown a whole bunch. What I'm saying is that you're putting a lot of spaces in your team, a lot of gaps in your team, on hoping that every one of them takes the next step. That's ineptitude, right? That is short-sighted as short-sighted can be. You're telling us that every player you grabbed is going to be starter quality and that you're okay not knowing that they're fully starter quality until you actually play them. That's essentially what you're saying. So hearing these rumors from other front offices and other personnel within the league saying this front office is inept, they're absolutely right. What has this front office shown us that they're not inept? They've whiffed on free agents at times. In fact, if we can remember, yeah, they did pretty okay last year. I'll give them that. But remember the Dontari Poe and all of that? Yeah. Right? Like, it has, we've been bargain bin shopping for all of our holes. You're not making trades. And now you have this cap space that you're okay running it back, essentially. After we saw how the season ended, where everybody was upset on how it ended, you're going to run it back with less of than what you actually had last year. That's not okay in anybody's world. Look at the Rams. The Rams went all in. They went out and got Beckham. They went out and got Vaughn. They added to their roster. Prior year to that, look at Tampa Bay. I mean, shoot, they went and got Tom Brady, which brought them Gronk, which they also brought in a whole bunch of others. Go back to Kansas City. Look at all the free agents that were brought in from the Cowboys, actually, that won the Super Bowl. Ward, Hitchens, right? Like, this isn't some weird thing that many of us have. You have to be able to do it all. You have to pull from trades, potentially. You have to look at free agency. You have to look at the draft. And then you have to question your own player development. Because one thing we have seen is that there are gaps where guys they think are going to step up. Connor McGovern, I thought he was going to step up, that don't. So what is really the deal here? Some people think this is just a throwaway year until Sean Payton, but if the front office isn't willing to work within the system itself and they're going to maintain absolute control, Sean Payton isn't the answer either, most likely. Right? If they're going to be the ones who want this type of control, we are stuck in this treadmill. Something has to give. Something has to change. Maybe the players play out of their mind and they push themselves, the team, further. Maybe that happens. But do we feel good right now staring at this team saying, well, hey, we can at least win the NFC East? Sure. Can you make an NFC championship game? And I'm going to say right now, before free agency is actually really fully developed and, you know, the draft today, at 4:58 on 3:16, no, this team cannot do it. Not the way it's currently constructed, especially if they run back out there like they did last year and shut down the motion, shut down the way the plays were being called early in the season. The defense has opportunity, right? Like, we know the defense is opportunistic. And look, Micah Parsons was off the charts last year. You have Diggs, who was off the charts last year. But if you're going to lose Jaron Kearse, who was fantastic, that's a huge hole you're missing. We don't really know what the opposite corner really is from Diggs. We hope it's the guys we have, but we haven't seen a lot from them. So we hope that that's there, and that might be their thinking, which is fine. Right? It's fine. You're not going to get stars at every position. You're not going to get, you know, Pro Bowl or All Pro or whatever you want to classify caliber player at every position. I think we all understand that. But you can't run it back with less and expect a better result. It just doesn't work that way. If you're going to improve the team, improve the team. But don't come to us as fans and say, I'm mad, I'm going to improve the team, and then say, well, all these guys, we don't know what they are. That's your improvement. Stop. Something has to change. And look, I know I'm not alone in this, and there might be some people listening who are really big on Jerry and Steven. But the way it appears is that one person in particular is probably the big linchpin, But the front office as a whole has not done the fans a service. They have wasted careers. They have wasted opportunities. They have not really gone all in when they probably had rosters that one or two additions could probably have put them there. They kept bad coaching. They've, from what we've heard, have injected themselves into how to run a play, right? What plays to run, what game plan. You know, the money gets money plays, so therefore Zeke gets the ball when he has a bad knee instead of handing it to Pollard more often. Like these, if all of this or even fractions of it are true, then yes, this front office is 100% inept, and I will say it. I will also say if I'm wrong and they win the Super Bowl. But right now, nothing is showing that they are not inept. We will see. Let's hope they turn it around. Let's get some free agents in here. Let's improve this team, and let's push forward to the season. Now, one of the other things I wanted to talk about beyond just the front office ineptitude, right, is what really are the needs of this team, right? Because there seems to be a little bit of agreement on some aspects and disagreement on the others. I think everybody understands that really the Cowboys need offensive line help. I don't think anybody will deny that, especially at guard. You know, people argue maybe we should start looking at tackle for Tyron, you know, center. I don't think anybody's going to question offensive line, right? Tight end, look, they brought Jarwin back. In this draft class, I may not have done that, but hey, they brought him back. You know, you can still add to him. I think they still need another tight end. Now, I understand they have a couple of guys that they're developing, but they're developing. We none of them are really great blockers, right? I mean, just honestly, none of them are great blockers. So you don't have that kind of tight end on the roster right now. At wide receiver, you know, people want to talk, you know, CeeDee Lamb's going to be the one, or Michael Gallup's going to be the one, and then they're going to add. Okay, that's great. And look, CeeDee Lamb might be able to do it. Now, he played primarily in 2020. He played a vast majority of his snaps. I want to say something ridiculous like 80% or something. He played the majority of the snaps in the slot. Okay. Now, last year, he was on pace to do the same thing. However, weeks 2 through 9, he actually had to play outside. Because if you remember, you know, Gallup's injury, Amari had stuff, like they had to play CD outside. I think he played like 70% or something. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head on the outside. But when both Amari and Gallup came back, they immediately moved him back to the slot. So they either think that he is a better piece to be moved around. There's many in Cowboys Nation that think he should be used like Deebo Samuel, where you have him as a running back, you have him split out wide, you have him in the slot, you move him around as a chess piece, sort of like you do with Micah on the defensive side. You can use CD and his speed and his agility and playmaking ability. I don't know if he's that, you know, hey, go up against the number one cornerback guy consistently. So then you have Michael Gallup. Well, look, we are hearing Michael Gallup may not be back until the end of September, beginning of October, right? He has the injury he's nursing. So those first few weeks, if you don't draft a guy or you don't pick up a free agent, you're talking CeeDee Lamb on one side and Simi Fehoko, Noah Brown on the other. I think they're going to add a wide receiver. I am of the ilk that they're going to add. They're looking for more size and speed, length on the outside. So a little draft talk. You know, a guy in second round is like Pickens. I think Pickens might be a really good option for them in the second round. Obviously, there's some first round guys. You know, I know they've talked about Treylon Burke. He doesn't have the speed that you want, but he has the size that you want. he's not the necessarily take the roof off the top of the guy, but you know, he runs solid routes. He is big. He uses his body well. He catches away from his body. You know, he does the other things really well. So I think wide receiver is certainly a position, right? Backup quarterbacks, I mean, they're probably going to bring them some camp arms. Who knows? You know, you absolutely don't need a starting quarterback, which is great. Now, running back is another position. Could they go there? Potentially. You know, they have a couple of guys that they used at the end of the year, like Hardy, you know, that they can throw in there when they need to. Zeke, look, I love Zeke. I'm an Ohio State fan. I love Zeke to death. But if we're looking at it objectively, you know, he had the injury on the knee. Knees are bad on running backs when they go bad. You know, he wasn't as efficient. Now, could that have been from the injury? Absolutely. Could it have been from the poor offensive line play? Absolutely. But I think most people believe that you can get similar production, but Zeke's here. Like, he's not going anywhere. Pollard's here. He's not going anywhere. So they probably are not going to go running back unless it's a really late round pick. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, they have some needs currently. Let's hope they address most of them in free agency so that they're not pigeonholed when it comes to the draft. Because you'll hear Joseph and myself and other people who talk draft a lot talk about best player available. Remember, it's not an exact best player available. It's position-based, needs-based, and then a little bit of, you know, who's there. So they're going to need some pieces. On the defensive side of the ball, this is where it gets a little shaky. So let's start at cornerback, right? They drafted Bossman Fat last year, second round. I think most people were pretty excited about it. We really did not see him very much in the regular season. We saw him a little bit, especially towards the end of the season. You know, you have a couple of guys that they've brought in that they've been slowly developing. You still have, you like Jordan Lewis in the slot potentially. What you probably still need to add. Now, maybe that's a veteran presence. Maybe that's you draft somebody in the middle rounds. I don't know. But I think most people realize that they at least need to, at the very least, need to add depth. Okay. Safety is another one. Look, I love that they brought back Malik Hooker. I think that was a really good low-key move. I would love for them to bring back Jayron Kearse. But if you don't, you know, I know some people are really high on Donovan Wilson. I think he's just a guy. He's made a couple of plays here, but he's also been a little shaky at times in coverage. And so I think they probably would still need to look at safety. At the very least, you know, they're going to need some depth. They're going to need something there. Moving on to position, you know, let's look at linebacker, right? We know we have Micah Parsons. You know, there's questions surrounding LVE. What's that looking like? Either way, you know, they need to add players. Look, Cox, it'll be back. I love Jabril Cox. I think he offers some things that, you know, they were hoping like KZ and Neil would add. I think he can absolutely be that guy. But yeah, I think you still need to add a little bit. Linebacker depth, you know, I'm not big on necessarily like a ton of off-ball linebackers, but fact is, you still need to field them, right? And so you probably need more talent than what you might either currently have or think you have, or at least depth. At the very least depth, I don't think anybody will argue that. The other one that's really interesting to me is defensive line. So they have a ton of three technique guys. I don't think that they absolutely need like, oh my gosh, we need a three technique guy. I think what they really need, if they don't bring back Brent Urban, which I am absolutely pounding the table because your run defense suffers without him. It just does. And you bring him back. Yes, they have Bohana from last year. But I think they're going to need more in the one technique, especially if they do not bring Brent Urban back. Defensive end. We talked about it. You know, do they believe Dorrance Armstrong is the answer? I'm not sold on that. I know some people are. I'm not totally sold on it. But even let's say it's Dorrance Armstrong, right? Let's just assume that's their plan. You know, Armstrong and Golston. Who else do they really have? Right? Like, I think they're going to have to add, even if their plan is Armstrong, they're going to have to add depth. They're going to add more to their pass rush. Their pass rush has been very shaky for a while now. You know, it's really, for some time, it's been Tank and somebody else, right? Like, just whatever they could find, whatever they could bring in, whatever veteran they could maybe coax in, or, you know, Randy, if he came back off, you know, when weed was still a thing, suspension. I just think that they have to do more. I think they have to do more there. So the defensive line is a little bit of a question. I'm not going to say it's the worst unit on the team, but it is certainly a question on pass rush and run stopping. It has not been the most consistent, and I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I think we all saw that they really needed help against the run. And, you know, here we are still talking about it. And, you know, they're going to have to approach it at some point. So it appears on the outside that they have needs. Granted, they may feel better about guys. They may feel worse about guys than some of us. You know, they may want to go in a direction. They may not. They may want to, you know, look at X player versus Y player. We really don't know at this point. But what we do know is they need help. They need more to get them over that hump of first round or first round knockout, right? Like, I think we're all in agreement there. So where do we go from here? Well, I don't think the answer is as easy as go after these two guys and you're good. I think it's going to be a mix. I think they're going to have to go after free agents, somebody. They're going to have to make a play for somebody. Preferably, you know, if I'm looking at it, there isn't a ton left at defensive end, but they're going to have to figure something out there. I think they can make a play there. Defensive line in general, you know, they still have Jayron Kearse out there as a safety. You know, there is some moves they can make. They're going to have to make them. They're going to have to actually do something. Not just talk about it, be about it. You know, don't tell me you're mad. Show me you're mad, right? I don't know what else we as fans are supposed to do outside of not buying tickets and not buying gear and, you know, doing the normal fan stuff to show we are upset, because it's not like they listen to the fans. You know, they're not asking our input on free agency. They're not asking our input on the draft. They're not asking our input for really anything. What they're asking us to do is spend money. And as long as we keep doing that, there's no reason for them to change anything. There's no reason for them to say, you know what? Yeah, we're just going to keep going. Something, like I said earlier, something's going to have to change, and they have to make some kind of moves. They cannot go into the draft with all of these holes and expect something different to happen. They just can't. I'll stand by it. So, free agency is in full swing, guys. It just started. You know, we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. You know, we're not the only team in the news, obviously. I hope they do something. I hope they've learned, like, people are not taking him seriously any longer. And this may be the angriest fans have been since Tom Landry was fired. This may actually be that. And you know what? They have the right to be. No, fans absolutely have the right to be mad right now. they have the right to say, we do not like what is going on. We want more. We are fans. We support the team. That's all great. Like, we can absolutely do that, and we should be doing that. But until they listen, all it is talk. All it is us voicing frustration, and away we go. All right. So now that we've gone through my little spiel there, I kind of do want to talk a little bit about the draft in itself, right? Like, I'm not going to touch on it huge right now because pro days are going on, and, you know, we have guys in Mobile, and there's just a lot going on with draft coverage and pre-workup. What I will say is that right now I would look at defensive end as of today, defensive end, offensive line, and wide receiver in some order, probably as your top three picks as of today, right? Now, things could change. They could sign somebody. They could trade for somebody. They could do something that negates some of that. But I think those are probably your three biggest needs. So, like I said, if you pick up a Pickens in the second, you got somebody like maybe Zion or Green in the first on offensive line. You know, third round gets a little wonky with the defensive ends, the edges, but I think you'll have opportunity there. You know, I mean, there's quite a few names that you might be able to get to fall. Look, the other possibility is the Cowboys could trade up, right? They traded Amari. They have a couple fifths. You know, they've collected, there's a possibility as of me recording this, they have not done it yet. But you know, Lyle Collins is probably going to get traded. Right now the rumor is New England. Again, I haven't looked, since I started the podcast, but, you know, that is a possibility to have more picks. So they could move up for some guys. If there's a guy they really like, let's say for instance, they love, I don't know, Majai Sanders. And they're sitting there in the third round and they're like, you know what? Let's move up, you know, 10 picks to make sure we get our guy. Then that's what's going to happen. You know, or could happen. We've seen Jerry trade picks in the past. We've seen him, you know, absolutely say, hey, I love moving around the draft. Now, whether he's going to, as remains to be seen. We've seen it, right? Like, we know that's an absolute possibility, especially if you walk into this draft and you've missed or whiffed on your free agent class, which I think right now, I think we can honestly say they have. They are right now, what I think they thought they were going to have versus what they actually have, I think they've whiffed a little bit. I don't know that they expected Randy to just sign back here. You know, because their whole thing, of course, is it's a privilege to play for the star, blah, blah, blah. Look, money talks, guys. We would all love to play for the Cowboys for $1 million a year. But the fact of the matter is, it's not how the way the market works. And we can say players love the Cowboys. Not every player has ever wanted to be a Cowboy. Like, it just, that's an old thinking that doesn't necessarily hold as much weight as it once did. It's just the way it is. Fans, especially young fans, as they get into the sport, they gravitate towards the more successful teams. Yes, there are some that will still stick by it because their dad did it or, you know, they live in that city, but that's a really old way of thinking that fans just automatically support you because they live in your city. There are a lot of other fans in Dallas. Now, granted, there's some transient, but like, I think we all know that there's a lot of Kansas City fans, young ones. Why? Because again, young fans tend to trend towards winning teams. And the one thing the Cowboys have not been is a winning team. Look, we can say, oh yeah, but they won 13 games. What did that get them? When I say a winning team, I mean, you've made it to championship games. You've made it to the Super Bowl. You've made it, you have made it a true success, which I think we can all agree, 26 years and counting for a Super Bowl or an NFC championship game. I think we can all agree that they haven't. They have failed. for 26 years to get back to where they say they want to be. Now, there might be other circumstances. There, you know, there's things that happen. I get it, injuries. But at the end of the day, you still have gone 26 years without a single NFC championship victory. And now you're talking about potentially 3 decades of not going to the Super Bowl. 3 decades. Think about that. Think about that for a second. 30 years, you're saying this team, this ownership could not get to a championship game. The advent of free agency, since the advent of free agency, that should tell us something. And yes, I know they were the ones who pushed it, right? But come on. Since free agency, you have been in have an inability to seriously create a contender that has made it to a championship game. You're telling me this, right? Like, this is reality. This is reality. So look, guys, we got a little ways to go for, you know, free agency is done. I get it. And I, you know, we can call it an overreaction. We can call it whatever you want to call it. But the fact holds, 26 years, and there's been one constant that whole time. And that is the front office of the owner and the COO. That's been the consistent. So if you don't want to blame them for any of this and you want to put it on the players, be my guest. I'm not going to stop. But what I will tell you is that you probably need to at least reconsider that there has been issues. We'll just say issues, right? Because it has been. It's been issues with this, with them. It's, we can't manage the cap. We don't have the money. We can't sign our guys. This guy slighted us. You know, everybody wants to play for the star. You know, we're going to bargain hunt. We're guys, please, please, front office, take this as a lesson. Take fans' reaction. Take analysts' reaction. Take the message that other front offices and other personnel in the NFL are saying, you are inept. That's a huge word, right? Like, inept. Like, it's not just that you're not great. It's not that you have problems. It's that you cannot do this. You are dysfunctional to a point where you cannot do what is being asked of you. Man, I'm just saying, we're here, right? Inept, having or showing no skill. You're telling me that people in this league believe this front office has no skill at this? Come on. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing well. You know, I hope everybody's healthy and happy. Look, it's at the end of the day, it's a form of entertainment. Don't take it overly serious. You know, just let it roll. We can react how we want to react. But at the end of the day, remember, this is a game that we watch for entertainment purposes. Okay. This is not everyday life. So, sorry, guys. I had to get it all off my chest. It's been bothering me. You know, I don't know what else we're supposed to do. You know, we can be vocal right now. And I think that's it. Like, fans are at a point where we just want to be vocal. We want somebody to hear us say, we're not satisfied. We want more. We expect more. Not just more, better. I think we can all look at last season, right? Dak gets injured. We all kind of knew. Like, all right, cool, got it. You know, you don't have your quarterback. Okay, it is what it is. But you roll into last year with arguably one of the more, at least on paper, talented rosters in the league, right? I think we can all agree. You may not agree they're top three, but I think we can all agree top five, seven rosters in the league, maybe 10, right? Like, you have a shot. You had a really good defense. You had a great offense, even though it got really, really bad towards the end of the season. You still had a top offense. Failing the way you did, in the manner that you did, is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the players. It's embarrassing for the fans. We hear it's embarrassing for the front office, but is it? What are you doing about it? Show us that you are mad as we are. Because as it stands right now, put up or shut up. I don't think anybody wants to hear anymore that Jerry Jones is mad. We don't want to hear it. We want to know what you're doing about it. All right? I think we all agree there. So, hope you guys are doing well. Stay healthy. Stay happy. We'll talk more draft as it comes up. Right now is free agency. I wanted to really hammer that home. And, you know, you can always catch me at Dan_Rupert on Twitter. You can catch me on Fansided at SportDFW covering the Cowboys. You can also catch me right here on the podcast, of course. My co-host, who right now, like I said, I don't know if you guys missed this, he's in law school. So right now is a really hard semester for him. He will be back around the draft, so keep an eye out for that. But you can catch him at TheJAMassey on Twitter. You can catch him right here, of course. And, you know, Star Boys Network, which is where this podcast lives. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. You know, I know a lot of you have said not enough people are calling out the front office. I am calling out the front office. And if you are a content creator, if you are a Cowboys reporter, if you are a podcaster, writer, whatever, I challenge you. If this is how you're feeling, say something. Say it. The more of us that say it, maybe, just maybe, we might have a chance of reaching the audience it's really intended for. So I challenge you. Say it. Don't be afraid to say it. Say it. I get, like, some people, you can't. I get all that, right? And look, I'm not going to sugar. I don't want to sugarcoat anything, right? But I do want to be real, right? But I also want to be a little tepid, because I also understand, like, you know, players have emotions. They are not robots, right? And, like, sometimes some of the stuff we say does hurt them. I look, sometimes they're a little oversensitive. I mean, shoot, I think I made one comment during a game that Dalton Schultz missed a block, and he ended up blocking me for it after he searched his name out. So, okay, maybe a little soft on some of this, right? And look, Dalton, if for some reason you're listening to this, I love you, man. I was stuck. I was like, you got Schultz. I was all on the Schultz board train last year. All aboard it. But come on, man. Like, you have to understand, this is what comes with the nature. Fans, right? Fanatic. They are, we are, this to us, you will be gone and we will still be cheering, potentially. I know some people are really debating that right now. But, you know, we will still be cheering. We will still ride or die with that team. We will be, you know, Cowboys fans. And so don't take it personally. A lot of us have been here since probably before some of you guys were born, right? And we're going to be here probably when your kids are born. So take it with a little bit of grain of salt, guys, if you're listening. But please say something, anything. Let them know we want more. We want better. We deserve better. You have the most valuable franchise in the world of sports. We helped you get there. We, the fans, helped you get to that point. It wasn't just because you have a team. It wasn't just because you won a Super Bowl or two. It wasn't any of that. What it was the fans buying merchandise, supporting the team, you know, buying tickets, watching on TV. The fans are what make that a valuable franchise. And so say something. And look, if you're happy with the way the front office is going, fine. That's fine. You are more than happy to do that. I just think you might be in the minority right now, which also is fine. But fans are not happy. They're just not. And it's okay for them to not be happy. Give them your ire. Let them know that this is not okay. All right. Well, all right, guys. I will catch you on the flip. Be good. Be safe. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Deuce. We'll be right back.